Live from Los Angeles and Washington, this is the Bachelor Masters. We are recording early today, EZR, 8:30 in the morning. This is before I usually get up.
That's not good. Okay.
You don't even go to bed, right? You just stay up all night every night.
I'm not a fan of sleep. I wish I could choose some days to like never sleep because I really don't like it.
You don't like sleep?
I do not like sleep. Yeah, I'm one of those, whenever they have a question, like, are you a night owl or a morning person? I'm like, yes. Well.
Okay. And Caitlin, you're out there in the future. It's approaching lunchtime for you.
Yes.
But what did the president say today, Caitlin?
Oh my God. I haven't even looked at his tweets today. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. You get the press conferences 3 hours before we do. Years ago when I lived in San Francisco, I, for some reason, was downtown San Francisco at 4:30 in the morning. I probably stayed up all night like EZR partying or something, but it was super busy. It was traffic jams and everyone going to work. And then it occurred to me that's because the financial people have to get up and be on East Coast time. Oh. They have to be ready to go when the stock market opens, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I feel like I've heard of people who have weird schedules because they need to be working on like Beijing time or something.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Ooh, what are you drinking? Who was that?
I was going to mute it and then I didn't.
It is 8:30 in the morning. I think we're allowed to make coffee sounds. What are you drinking? EZR?
I muted it. Just water. Water.
Oh, just water? No tea?
I don't have that kind of capacity right now to boil something. The mental.
Okay. Well, I don't have much. We got a couple bland episodes this week, which I don't fault them for. We've had some really good episodes this season. The one thing that stood out to me was Blake saying to Christina, "Mark my words."
Yeah, it's like a gun being mentioned in the first act.
Yeah. 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 Or George Bush Sr., you know, read my lips, no new taxes, which basically lost him the election to Clinton.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up to lose if you're going to say that. Second to last week, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think next week's the last week. 6 weeks total. Mm. I love when Blake was doing his confessionals to the camera and he kept saying, "Wow, Bree is just so smoking hot. Got this great body. But, you know, I'm here with Christina. But, you know, Bree is just the best." And
That was cut so deceptively.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they really are, like, actively trying to make... I think Blake slept with, like, a producer wife. Because they're really trying hard to make him the most horrible man ever. And he's being normal in that. Like, sleeping back-to-back with two women is not comparable to anything... Dean's been way worse.
Exactly.
No.
I got some things to sound off related to Dean, but I don't have enough caffeine in my system just yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it works. I had it in my head that we could go around and each do a mark my words. Like I could say, "Mark my words, this podcast will be on the air for another 20 seasons.
Something that you can't deliver on? We can't absolutely deliver on?
Yeah, like, what's something, like, we could do some ironic mark my words. Like, mark my words, I will see. But then I couldn't really think of anything funny. So that's kind of where I left it.
Totally works.
I put in a lot of effort trying to pre-plan for this podcast, you know. And I feel like I usually deliver. But when it comes to this mark my words joke, I got nothing.
Go ahead, Caitlin. With a mark my words. Huh. Okay. Well, I guess I have one related to the show. Just mark my words, Clay is not over Angela.
Very good.
I think he is. I don't know. He's about it. Acting real weird. He is.
To me, the 4-hour gym thing, there's two things that got forgotten about. The first is, if you're someone who works out a lot, it definitely helps to have a partner that is interested in working out. When I was working out a lot in my younger days, it was fun to go to the gym with somebody you were dating that wanted to go, not just doing lip service to going. So I can understand his side. The thing is, though, his job, his profession is to be fit. So going to the gym for 4 hours a day, I don't see how that's any different than going to the office for 4 hours a day.
It's like anything. You want to be able to do things with your partner that you're interested in, that you like. You know, Nicole's perfect. She sits on his back.
Yes. See? There you go. To Caitlin's point, he needs to get over Angela and focus on Nicole. She seems like it must.
I thought it was more like, don't want to be roomies with your ex. And I know the show Friends addressed it a lot, but that was kind of the dumb part. If it was a real breakup any of those times, you would go away from them, not hang out with your friends anymore, you know?
Right.
So I think he's right that he went to paradise. Okay, so the way I see it is that he went to paradise to start over, clean break. And then she comes to kind of want to be around him. And I think what he's saying is makes like total sense. They're making this hard on him. He needs a space. He's not saying he wants to be with her, but he wants to like go away from her. Like that makes total sense to me. And then it feels like Angela, the way she was laughing when they were talking, like she's trying to torture him.
Right.
Through it.
Yeah, she had a strange smile on her face towards the end of that.
That's how I saw it. I saw him just being annoyed that she's around. And he's not a mean guy, so I think that comes off a little sweeter than someone who'd be like, go away.
Right. The counter argument seems to be that if he has a right to be there, then she has a right to be there, even if they came at different times.
Sure, in theory, except that, I mean, obviously it's not her fault. She's probably asked to be there. But I'm guessing that if he would have known she would have come, or if he would have known how, like, the normal thing that happens on Bachelor, he probably wouldn't have gone to paradise. He probably would have just gone on a vacation somewhere, because he doesn't like things like that. So it makes sense to me.
Right. I think it was a couple seasons ago, maybe it was last season, EZR and I dedicated a fair amount of time on the podcast to the word ex, E-X. And it's standard practice to refer to your ex as an ex, my ex this, my ex that. But EZR and I agreed that neither of us really are into that practice. I don't just use the word ex in casual conversation. I'll either say a woman I dated, or I'll use the person's actual name. It just seems so dehumanizing to use the word ex.
Or proprietary. I think we said something like, it feels like property, old property.
Do you use the word ex, Caitlin?
A lot of the time, if I were to be talking about somebody I used to date, if it's like with my friends or something, they know the name of the person. So it is easier to just say their name.
At what point does someone become an ex?
I mean, when you break up with them?
Yeah.
They were 8 months. Eight months is a flash in the pan.
I don't know. I feel like that's a decent chunk.
Well, I kind of feel the same way. They kept saying they were together for 8 months. They almost moved in together, guys. And I was like, okay, 8 months is, you know, a movie can come out in the theater and not be on Netflix in 8 months. That's nothing. I think my, like, average before my current relationship, which is probably going to be forever, was 2 years. And that feels okay. That's, like, enough to say an ex. I don't know.
Is your ex, yes.
Okay. Yeah, but if it's less than that, it's like, I mean, I don't know. I guess this is just old person me talking. I am now into my 30s, so I'm not them.
Damn. I think my longest relationship ever has been 2 years. Well, so I'm like, 8 months, that's a decent amount of time to date somebody.
Yeah, I mean, speaking from, like, I'm the Chris Bukowski here. I'm the old person on the beach saying, you kids and your 8 month relationships. I've been there.
Yeah. Well, I'm a serial move inner. If I'm yeah, I just don't like really being alone. I like having people around me or someone around me, especially if I like the person. What usually happens is I'll start dating somebody, and then my lease will come up wherever I'm living, and I'll just not renew the lease and just bring my... Because I don't have that much stuff.
Coincidence, Craig. Dang. That's horrible.
I don't have that much stuff. See, I'm a real Dean. I'm not a fake Dean like Dean. I'm a real Dean. I like to live an alternative lifestyle. I have few possessions. I'm mobile if I need to be.
Yeah, I like how Dean did a very classic family normal thing. Like, that's what a family of four does.
Yeah, rent a car and go to the...
Yeah, rent a car and they go to the Grand Canyon. Like, that's not an alternative lifestyle thing.
Exactly.
That's not...
He's such a fraud. Super cool.
Yeah, he is a fraud.
He gives a bad name to all people that are truly trying to lead alternative lifestyles, who I have a lot of respect for. But I just, like I said, I don't have the energy to talk about Dean just yet. Maybe I never will.
All right.
I was actually going to ask you, Caitlin, because you know New York City well. I get the sense, now I'm no expert, but I get the sense that moving in together in New York City is a thing. It's a checkpoint with lots of social stigma around it. Whereas in a big spread out city in L.A., oh, you want to move in? Oh, maybe. You know, but there, it's like proposing to somebody. You sit down and you say, I would like you to move in with me. Is that right, you think? Is that close to the truth?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does feel like it's a very big deal.
I think it's because getting an apartment is a big deal, too, right?
Like, yeah, you, and like
if
finding
you can
like
find
a
rent-controlled apartment.
Space that's not super expensive. And a lot of the apartments that you live in are so tiny that like, the idea of putting somebody else in there is kind of like, oh, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I was just reading this article last night about, they're called LAT relationships, living apart together relationships, which are like, you never live together, even if you're married, you always live separately. Part of the way through, I realized one of the people they're interviewing is somebody I went to college with who lives in the city and was saying he considers himself to be in a living apart together relationship because he lives in Brooklyn and his boyfriend lives in Manhattan. And I was just like, no, that's just like a normal New York relationship.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, we're like 5 miles away from each other. Yeah. No, that's not that big of a deal.
Well, getting on that A train, I know, that's like going to a whole different world. Wow. That came up in Sex and the City or something where they're like, oh, you live in Brooklyn? Sorry, I can't date you.
Like there are some people who are very, let's see, even, do you know the TV show Younger?
I love that show.
Love that show. But there's like a plot line, I can't remember which season it is in now, where Hilary Duff's character like goes on a date with a guy and he seems perfect. And then it turns out he lives on Roosevelt Island, which means you have to take the tram to get there.
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, I just can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that was her rebound from somebody. I don't remember that well.
Yeah,
but I like the show.
But I was like, boy. Yeah, that tram thing is real for some people. I definitely know people who are like, yeah, you wouldn't date somebody who is that far away from you because it just feels like a big deal to like go to their neighborhood or something. I mean, it's different now because my current relationship that I'm like years into at this point, we're long distance. So to me, I'm like 6 miles away. That's whatever.
All right. Well, Easier, do you have a mark my words or should we just get on to the next thing here?
No, I kind of forgot about that. Sorry.
Mark my words, EZR will not participate in the game we're playing this morning.
Let's see now. Mark my... So it's supposed to be not true?
I don't know. It just came to me when I was sleeping at like 4 a.m, which was
mark
4 hours
words,
ago.
Derek will be exposed for the F-boy that he is.
Oh.
And that one I mean... Not ironically or not anything ironic, else. Yes. No tinge of anything.
I didn't want to bring this up, but since you mentioned it. So we talked last podcast about this United Front thing with our social media accounts. So EZR runs the Instagram. I run the Twitter. And I'm all for that. I think it's great to have multiple voices, two separate voices. It's cool. And I get the United Front. When you post something on Instagram, I post something on Twitter. It's in the voice of whoever posted. I get that. But you and I differ pretty far partly on Derek and John Paul Jones. Yet you're posting on Instagram with your voice and not leaving any space to say that we, the Bachelor Masters, might have a differing opinion.
Don't you do that on Twitter?
I'll use I and then I'll put in parentheses co-host Craig if I really feel like it's my
Well,
my
there's
opinion.
Tons of stuff I'm like, okay, whatever. And I don't really, like, I don't say.
You put a heart around John Paul Jones's head.
Yeah, well, I did that way before I knew anyone else. I really thought when that whole thing happened that there are times where I'm like, I'm going to get shit for this from anybody, from Bachelor Nation. But when that happened, I thought that argument is super clear. Very few things have been clearer to me. So that one was odd that it well, turned out differently than I thought.
But you deleted my comment.
Yeah. Well, because we were talking about the whole United... You keep texting us. We have to go on a retreat, guys.
I know.
You're giving me mixed signals here.
Yeah.
And then now we're in a deep thing that's very much about this one issue, which I'm okay with talking about or, like, you know, having it out.
You mean John Paul Jones or Derek?
Yes. John Paul Jones, Derek, Tayshia, and now Haley.
And now Haley. Okay. I did point out on Twitter that Haley's sister, whose name is...
Yeah, I don't condone that. Emily.
Emily. Condone what?
That but she see, has a you sister? Post stuff on Twitter.
Oh, no, oh, you didn't approve my tweet is what you're saying. That's funny.
Yes.
Okay. I did tweet that Emily is dating a star forward for the NHL team that plays in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
He's Swedish, and they've been together for a while now. They even went to Sweden together. She's
Wait,
goes
which
to all
player
the games.
Is she dating?
Well, a lot of the Swedish players have the same names. So you're going to have to give me a second to look it up. And I actually watched the playoffs so I could, like, watch him, and it was very difficult because there was three people with the same last name. Here it is. William Carlson.
Okay, I will give that one to you because there are, like, six Carlsons in the NHL. Yes.
Do you follow the NHL hockey?
Yeah.
That's my follow-up question.
Oh, my God.
I sure do.
It's ice skating stuff. Right?
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I grew up, my dad and all of my uncles played, like, adult beer league hockey my entire life, so I kind of grew up around it.
Is your team the Washington Capitals?
Oh, that's a complicated question. I have a fondness for the Capitals, but my number one team in my heart is always the New York Rangers.
Ah, who had Wayne Gretzky for a little while there.
Yeah.
Well, the Capitals have Alex Ovechkin, right? Who's kind of like the bad boy of the hockey. And he had a big rivalry with Sidney Crosby, who's like the can't
the
do
bad
wrong.
Boy of hockey. I mean, aren't they all like kind of?
Well,
by
no,
definition?
Ovechkin was like
he's
like,
there's a lot of bad boys of hockey.
Yeah,
isn't Ovechkin like particularly?
There was this whole rivalry set up because Crosby is an
very
angel perfect
cut.
Boy who like he is a Canadian hero, he never drinks alcohol, like that kind of thing. And Ovechkin is Russian, he's a crazy guy, you know.
That's cool.
Like they would try to sell that narrative.
Yeah.
But they won the cup 2 years ago now. And Ovechkin was going wild because it's the first time that he won the Stanley Cup. He had these amazing Instagrams of him, like, sleeping in the bed with the Stanley Cup. And, like, so I have, like, multiple teams that I feel soft spots for now, which is, I guess, not the way you're supposed to root for these teams.
Mm. Wow. Easier. Who knew? We're just now unpeeling the onion that is Caitlin.
Yes.
Right. So Carlson, Emily. So anyway, this Carlson kid looks a very lot like John Paul Jones.
Oh.
Not just kind of, but they could be cousins.
Do you think that Carlson has a problem vomiting after everything he eats?
I don't know if playing hockey and vomiting would be very useful. I mean, it's like you get hit against the boards, you vomit. When Haley said, oh, John Paul Jones is somebody that I think my family would really like, that was sort of a coded statement for, I already know that William Carlson is liked and John Paul Jones looks a lot like Carlson, which was a little strange. But the thing is that we got a glimpse into their life during Ari's season, because one of the two made it far along in his season. She got a hometown date.
It wasn't Ari's season. It was Ben's season. Let me give a little bit of backstory, actually. It was weird because it was set up to be this package deal that's kind of gross, right? Like, sexual.
Yeah,
but then they totally ignored the sexual innuendos they were given and had them be a package deal until the point it could have gotten weird. Then they cut one, like, inexplicably. Like, you know, how did Ben know which one was which? I don't know.
Didn't they switch at one point and try to, like, fool him?
Oh, yeah. And he got it right. Yes. That's
how
right.
How stupid is that? But I think early on in the season, like, one rose counted for both of them. like you were saying.
Yes, it was really
that is so kind of really odd. Stupid. Yeah,
yeah.
And they were super sheltered. Cute,
but then they got it. Yeah.
Like the mom, like bless her heart, but the mom really sheltered the two of them. I think they even lived in the same room and had, like, the room was like a mirror image of itself. Like they had, they liked the same things. They have, basically everything was exactly the same. They're raised the same. They're like tied at the hip.
Yeah. They were kind of raised to, or they were setting themselves up to be these two crazy old twins, basically. Like they were getting kind of gross. I don't know exactly what they said that grossed me out, but it was something probably akin to like, we bathe together or something like that. And then I think being on the show kind of made them see that it's not all cute anymore when you're, maybe it's cute when you're 8, but not when you're 28. And then they, the one thing I really remember about them that ever stood out was that they both said they hate anything that's not junk food. Like that's all they
eat. Oh yeah. They only eat junk food. That's right. Ben took them to go to dinner and she was grossed out by regular food you would have on a plate. Like salad.
Yeah, it was really strange. They were like, oh no, I only like, I don't even know what that means. Like hot
Snickers
dogs
bars.
And chips?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
hot dogs,
that's what it sounded like. It was like, no, we only eat candy. Like that's the, it was really strange. I don't know. Yeah. Strange for an older person to say that.
Right. Kudos to Haley, because it must have been a big shock to the system to have Emily hook up with Carlson. My head is spinning. I mean, they're like a serious relationship. It must have been a big shock to Haley to suddenly not have your twin sister who you're exceptionally close with.
Often. I think they broke off at a perfect time. If it had been way later, it was a good time to break off because they were looking creepy on TV. I mean, some of it was purposeful. Some of it was put on, but some of it was definitely them being weird and trying to be weird. And at least in JPJ's defense, this is probably the farthest either twin has ever gotten on any Bachelor show in terms of having any kind of relationship. This is the biggest connection they've had. So I don't know why she's blaming him. I mean, he's literally like no other man has given her a shot. So I don't remember which one made it farther. But.
Well, a couple thoughts on that. The first is I think when Haley melted down there, kind of yelling at John Paul Jones, which I think was a little unfair, and also just like sort of crying to Wells or whoever it was about how she's never loved or blah blah. I think that is a direct result of her sister going off and finding love, so to speak. You could see
it's like
that.
Scrambling.
I thought that she had a good point in terms of JPJ could have been more upfront with her about, oh, I'm into Tayshia and I'm not interested in you in this way. And he just sort of like let that hang off until it came up to bite him. I did also really like in the middle of, like, I can't remember which Haley scene this was, but it was in the middle, I think, of her being like, oh, I'm alone and nobody ever wants me. She said, I'd rather be home with my dogs. And I was like, oh, yeah, same. Pretty much always the same for me.
Yeah, dogs come first.
So this is what bothered me about her Haley's breakdown is that this is what the damn show is about. You're supposed to have someone in the background that you're, if there has never been a clear example of what the show is about, it's that one situation and she cried over it. You have this loyalty, whether it's misplaced or not, for the person you're with first. And in John Paul Jones' case, I don't think it is misplaced. He does actually like Tayshia. And JPJ, honestly, I feel like he dealt with it better than most people. He hadn't really had a chance to talk to her.
He actually apologized. Yeah.
He apologized. He left. You're allowed to change your mind. You know, you can have a really good date and be like, you know what? Maybe it was really good, but she's not Tayshia or whatever his mind is saying. And he let her down. He said, that was on me. That's my communication skills. Other people would just leave and the other person's crying as they're leaving on a date. So I don't think it was the drama that it needed to be, that it was.
Yeah.
Let's go into JPJ.
So now we're going to JPJ officially. He did a lot of things right. Jay in LA, our Twitter friend and super fan, he pointed out that early on, JPJ was trying to blame Derek for Haley thinking that John Paul Jones was into her. But like you said, EZR just now, you're right. He owned up to it, whether or not it was legitimate or not. Actually said the words, "I'm sorry," which is very rare. We did see more fighting with him and Derek. And like I said last week, he takes his jokes one step too far. And a good example of that is when he caught the fish.
That won my heart.
That was pretty.
Break.
That was
I cool. actually liked that.
Yeah.
But then he was like, "I don't want the fish to die. I don't want the fish to die." And he kind of like was hooting and hollering in the ocean. That's taking it one step too far. The joke's already been made.
I'm totally on board with him. I feel that way about certain people, but not him.
But like, the other thing was when he was arguing with Derek, what's with that weird, creepy Joker laugh he was doing?
Yeah, I didn't really understand what was happening with his laugh.
I can go into that.
So I'm going to pose the same question to you both that I posed last week. And I'll use the common law U.S. court system language here. How can a reasonable person, isn't that what they say? Like a reasonable, isn't that how they, you know, morals? Would a reasonable person think that this is bad or something? How could a reasonable cishet woman think John Paul Jones was somebody you would want to date, given these creeper things he does and these sort of strange endpoints to his jokes and nuances and stuff?
I have a lot to say. So, Caitlin, go ahead.
Are you going to monologue easier?
I am going to rip you a new asshole, Craig.
Oh, God.
No, I'll be fine. I'm just kidding.
Uh-oh. Okay, so you're going to rip me a new a-hole.
I feel like I'm in the middle, again, of this kind of situation in that I think there are definitely a lot of things that JPJ has done or said that I'm like, why is he doing this? Like, I did not like when he was having the argument with Derek in the first episode of this week, where he said this thing. He's laughing, and then he says, "Well, Tayshia's decided, like, not to be with you." And I was like, we haven't seen that footage yet.
Right.
I was kind of like, has she said that to JPJ, and we just haven't seen it? Or is he, like, deciding that and just saying, like, oh, you're not good for her, so she's not going to be with you without, like, you know what I mean? So I was like, I don't know. It's really unclear since now that we had more footage since that. Like, I have notes from that time being like, huh, footage not found of Tayshia saying this to JPJ. But honestly, since she's still into him by the end of these episodes, I feel like maybe she did say something like that to him. But
yeah,
that was one point that I had was like, oh, I don't know why he is continuously being like, you're not good for Tayshia. And Tayshia knows that and she's definitely not going to be with you. But yeah, I felt like he really didn't do himself any favors with continuing to fight with Derek in terms of everyone seems to know what he already thinks of Derek. He's already told Tayshia what he thinks of Derek. There's nothing really to be gained by, like, having this out again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see that with, like, Tayshia's reaction to their fight initially was like, I don't want to be with either of them now because, like, this is just bullshit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't want to be with him, either of them, until there was no other options left. And then she went with John Paul Jones.
No way.
He did do a good job in terms of, like, giving Tayshia space after she had that conversation with Derek. Oh, I've decided I don't see this going anywhere with Derek. And he was kind of like, I did sort of laugh at the scene where he brings her a tissue and says, I'm sorry, and then just walks away. And I was like, actually, that's pretty good, though, because, like, she's not in a mood to talk to him about this kind of shit now, you know? So I think he was good with that, with giving her a little bit of time to figure out if she wanted to have a conversation with him about this or not. Yeah, I'm a little bit confused about Tayshia and JPJ in terms of, like, it does seem like she's having fun with him. He makes her laugh and all of that, but I don't know. I feel like he's not mature enough for her long term, and I'm not sure if she really, like, does she actually see this going somewhere, or is this just she's having a good time hanging out with him?
That's all great points. I agree.
And she had a great outfit on when she was doing her, like, breakup thing with Derek.
Was it red?
No, it was, she was wearing, like, a bikini top that was, like, tan with polka dots and, like, a white button down that was open and jean shorts, and I thought it was very cute.
Yeah, I didn't like the white shirt over for, like, I felt like it could have been something like that, but maybe a little bit different, maybe something more like what Nicole would wear, something more lacy. It looked too, like, I just got
like a pair of sheer pants on top of it.
Yeah, it looked like a Dockers ad look, like when you're, you know, just, I don't know. But I did like I do like her style in general. Like, it's not for me, but it works on her. Okay. Oh, there's a lot to go over here. I want to make sure I don't
miss
anything.
Should I sit down for this?
Sit down, Craig. You are going to get it.
No, I'm actually going to sit down. You might hear the chair creak. Let me see here.
You're typing.
All right, ready? Here we go.
Yes. Okay. I just sat down. I want to make sure I address everyone's point. So if I don't remember something that anyone said, let me know. It's not because I want to skip over it and ignore something, because I had something to say almost to everything that I can think of. Here's my argument last week, summed up perfectly by JPJ, of why he's allowed to like Tayshia and at the same time, and related but not dependent on one another, attack or confront Derek on what he said.
I've had multiple conversations with Derek. He told me, as a result of this process, you can sleep with some of the women that you follow, verbatim, quote, like, yeah, you can f*** some of those girls. And if I see somebody that I care about being manipulated, I'm going to step in and do something.
If I remember correctly, when JPJ said that same thing to Derek, Derek said, yes, I said that. But if you remember, right after I said that, I said, that's what other people do. That's not what I do.
Yeah.
And Derek is allowed to defend himself.
I can go into this whole thing. I know he said that now, but I kind of think he was thinking of something to say. Yes, we know he's tried to clean that up now by saying, no, you didn't hear the end of my sentence. But we'll go into that. Okay.
Caitlin, if I'm ever in a jury trial, make sure that EZR doesn't get selected to be on the jury.
Why? Because I'll hear your whole entire
You'll be like, actually, you know, I don't really think Craig said that, even though three witnesses said.
That's the opposite of what's happening. He heard Derek say that verbatim, period, stop sentence. But Derek's like, no, I didn't really say that. You didn't get the whole context. Like, that's not what happened. If you're in a room with someone, you're not like, oh, never mind, I choose not to hear the end of what you're saying. That's what really bothers me, is that I don't think JPJ is going to be this have this much conviction about what he's saying if it was, you know, then Derek trailed off and talked to someone else. Like, I think he would have asked for more information. I think he already knows who Derek is as kind of being a manipulator. So let me go into it. Okay. We've kind of established, that Demi is a kind of producer plant. The fact that her whole relationship is produced by the Bachelor franchise to make this huge point about acceptance and LGBTQ right issues. Have we?
It's like, I don't know if we've established that. I do think there's definitely, yeah, that whole stuff with her being allowed to bring on her outside partner who is not in the franchise originally is sort of unusual. But yeah, I think that makes sense.
Craig?
Yes.
Just make sure we're step by step making sure.
I'm with you on that.
Okay. So when JPJ is explaining something really simple and they're behind them making faces, I feel like that's so symbolic of all the producers and what we're supposed to think is Bachelor Nation doing something that's so rude. You know, they're already giving him the kooky music. They give him they show the extended scenes of him crying and give him that, you know, he's blowing his nose or whatever. And when Derek,
oh boy, that was pretty gross though, honestly.
Yeah, natural human functions.
Blowing it right out onto the sand, no tissue.
No. Like, but then Derek gets the introspective sunset, like, you know, blinking into the sunset and sad music. That isn't that the whole point of our show? Like, as Bachelor Masters, we're supposed to be introspective on manipulation and how you know, media works. So I think that number one, that's like signifiers for us.
Okay.
First point. Second point, just side note, JPJ issued an apology about disrupting the wedding. That's all he said, though. He said nothing about Derek, which I 100% good on him for not caving into what people want, what people are supposed to be thinking. And another little piece of Bachelor history, Caitlin, and I think Craig too, you might not know this, I don't know if you do. They used to have Bachelor weddings, separate televised events.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 hours of unwatchable, like, if someone said, come to my house, let's watch my wedding on VHS. Which yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So
see,
it's completely
Vanderpump Rules gets around that by just only showing the actual wedding for a few minutes, and then the rest is them getting totally hammered and fighting and all that kind of stuff. But you don't get that on the Bachelor weddings.
Yeah, remember so they showed this guy, Jason Mesnick's wedding. He was an old Bachelor, and he kind of had to do it the old switcheroo at the last, at his after the final rose, where he picked someone but then decided, nope, I'm gonna pick the other girl instead. So it was really bad. So that was the how they sold the wedding, as like, see all your fan favorites, watch a 2-hour special televised event, the Bachelor wedding. And it was unsellable without drama. And I am definitely a newer generation of Bachelor watchers. I might be one of the last, but then again, still a popular show. But I think the demographic is getting, you know, it's inching up with the years of The Bachelor. I fast forwarded through it, just like I fast forwarded through Carly. I didn't watch Jason Mesnick's wedding, but I fast forwarded through Carly, you know, Dongle's wedding, whatever her. I don't like her. So
if your point is that watching Bachelor weddings on TV is not fun, then Caitlin and I are in complete agreement with that.
Okay. Okay. Here I come to my big point. Like I said last week, when someone bullshits you and you know they're a bullshitter, you don't listen to them. And I think he does that right. Even though he's kind of crazy, he's kind of out there, he does that right. They twist their own words against you. They manipulate the situation. Derek is I think he's an expert manipulator of the situation.
Wait, I don't want to derail you here, but what does the Bachelor history lesson on Jason Mesnick's wedding have to do with Derek and John Paul Jones? Is it because they argued at the wedding?
Right, because everyone's blaming JPJ, and so is Derek. He's saying things like, you shouldn't have done that at a wedding.
Right,
it's like,
okay.
That was the point.
In real life, weddings always have major drama, right?
Yeah, they do, right?
I've
never been to a wedding that doesn't.
As far as I'm concerned here, EZR, you're on a roll. I've agreed with everything you said so far.
Oh, okay. Well, get ready to not. Okay. So I think that Derek is classic, and I didn't used to hate Derek, but I think he's classic manipulator guy now. Okay. Tactic number one, go on. This is all Derek. To how he manipulates JPJ and tries to manipulate the situation. Tactic number one, go to them calmly and say, and be very condescending and try to act like you're gonna be a reasonable person.
I just wanna seek some understanding as to where all this started.
Okay, tactic number two, make it an overarching issue that, this is the most horrible part. He uses woke speak and he's misappropriating it. So he's using social justice issues disingenuously to kind of become untouchable. And that one really bugs me because a lot of men have learned how to do this.
So you're making decisions for Tayshia now. You don't get to tell Tayshia what to do. You don't get to tell anybody here what to do.
I will agree that Derek did not really let John Paul Jones talk the entire time, even though he asked them to go talk.
Right, because he had a game plan.
Yeah, that
which is
me.
What I'm trying to, yeah, which I'm like, especially that one. What we can get back to, because that one is huge to me. That one should be labeled right now as like a new social phenomenon. Tactic number three, classic addition after the fact, and then dragging people's names in to muddy the waters.
This doesn't matter, dude. Does not negate the situation at all.
And then kind of a mixture of deflection onto other things and definite projection.
You can some of the girls that you follow. You told me that.
And do you know what I said after Tayshia, that? I choose not to. I said people who have done that are like Blake, who came here and had problems.
Dude,
that's what Blake. I said.
Oh my God.
Us
I did not even get
you just
close
spit
to.
On my face. Why are you laughing like this all the
it's
time?
Silly,
you don't take this seriously at all.
Deflection.
You also
were you messing with Haley, and now you're messing with me, and now you're messing with Tayshia. So this is just John Paul screwing with everybody.
Derek,
Well, I started laughing because of the Blake mention. It was just very funny to me that it was like, it's like, let's bring in Blake, this guy we all know fucked up so bad.
Yeah, that's what everyone on the show is doing, right? They're all like actively trying to bring, like, whenever someone's wrong, they drag Blake's name into it.
Like, at least no, I'm not Blake. The issue is.
Yes. He's like the standard of bottom.
Poor Blake.
Oh, man.
Okay. That's pretty much my issues. Then, of course, like I was saying, I think John Paul Jones, in his own way, was being a little mature about it. He said something that I really loved, what really like resonated with me. He said to Tayshia, I was going to sit in my pain and give you your space. And I was like, I love that. I love that he, despite all his passionate, the problem here too is that would be me. You would fight, and I've told you this, Craig, tons of times, that I would just fight for the principle of it, despite what's happening and despite everyone telling me that, you know, uh-huh, I shouldn't go about it that way. I would just do it. And that's the horrible advice old man Chris Bukowski gave him, right? He's like, you shouldn't have just, do you think you'll ever reflect and like not do it that way? He's like, yeah, but no. And I love that. He said, no, like, f- you. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Don't cut that out. Okay, everybody.
I just have a question for co-host Chris. Co-host Chris, if you avoid all these tactics of manipulation, what kind of life will you be leading?
Oblivion and a fulfilling existence.
Oh, boy.
I think JPJ knows who he's dealing with. And so he had to cut him off. Like I think he did his best against this barrage of tactics people that are wrong use. And I especially kind of want to lay in on the fact that Derek, we saw Derek twisting words. If anything, we know JPJ is not the kind of guy who's going to tell a woman what to do, right? Like, is that clear to everybody? And yes. Then Derek's like, you don't get to tell Tayshia what, you know, come on. He's using a issue that can be misconstrued to make it sound bad. So that to me even was symbolic of how much of a horrible person Derek is, really.
Okay. To get to the root of what my issue with John Paul Jones is, which is going back to the notion that would a reasonable woman, reasonable cishet woman, think John Paul Jones is an attractive person. I think it would be fruitful to remove Derek from this completely.
But I'm not trying to... I mean, in this case, I'm not trying to lift up John Paul Jones. I'm trying to make sure we see Derek for who he is. So, like, I'm all for debating whether JPJ is dateable or however you want to put it. I'm trying to make sure we know who Derek is.
I thought you were still in love with John Paul Jones a lot. You know, well, last week I mentioned that, well, I don't really have an opinion on Derek one way or the other. I think after his fight with John Paul Jones this week, where he asked John Paul Jones to come over and talk to him and then just wouldn't let him talk, I think there's no question that Derek is a bad person. And that creates a little conundrum because now we're in agreement. Now we don't have anything to argue about.
Okay, I thought you were defending Derek for some reason.
I do think it's interesting that Derek like admitted he did say you could sleep with women who are like groupies, right?
Right, and didn't he not originally not admit
Yeah,
it?
Originally he was like, this is, you know, everything you said was wrong. And this time he sort of was like, yeah, I did say that, but I said it in the context of like, I don't do that. And I was he definitely did say it. And like, I don't know if he does that or not, but I think he seems very concerned about like his reputation and his, how he's presented on TV and trying to like make sure that people see him as this lovelorn guy who deserves better than he's gotten rather than being seen like Blake.
Mm-hmm. So we're in agreement.
Well, good. I'm glad I took down Blake, but he was already dead. You know? I mean, I guess just to wrap up Derek, my criticism of Tayshia in this case, which I love Tayshia, you guys know, is that I wish she would look at this a little bit more critically or had looked at it a little more critically, and instead of being lazy about deciphering. when this happened to her, well, not exactly this, but when something like this happened to her on her season, she was very critical and she did do a good job of breaking things apart to see who was right and who was wrong. We didn't see her do this with Derek and JPJ, but I feel like she's smart enough to, and she just kind of went, you're both fighting, ergo, you're both wrong. Bye. Let me just be away from it, which is, I don't think is okay. You can think someone's wrong for fighting, but you can try to decipher what they're fighting about and see if it's worth it.
Right. Well, since you laid out all these tactics, which I think was really amazing, I like addition by subtraction. Just to tangent a little bit over to Christian with a K. So while Derek monologued himself and wouldn't shut up and give John Paul Jones an opportunity to retort, Caitlin, at the beginning of last episode, I mentioned that, like Jay in LA, I think that there's, she seems sinister in a way that can't wipe her finger on just yet. But you notice she's a lurker. You can be quiet, but she's also a lurker. Demi and her just sit at the bar, what seems like all day, every day. She's just sitting there lurking, I guess, building up a knowledge base. And I don't know what nefarious end she's going to do that. So it's a different kind of tactic. It's that tactic waiting in the weeds to pounce.
Bartender tactic.
At least Derek's sort of upfront with it.
Derek is up front with it? What do you mean?
Well, at least we know what Derek's tactics are right away. I see. Christian with a K, there could be some stuff going down next week. And if the previews are any indication, sounds like there might be.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know if there is anything sinister about Christian or not, but I do feel like this show would be better if Christian and Demi were just also bartenders with Wells.
I think that's what people are going for now for next...
Yeah, there's like a hashtag.
Because I'm sure Wells
makes a lot of sense. Because, like, especially Demi is, you can tell she loves being like producing storylines and things like that. She loves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Narrating. Well,
it bugs me that Demi talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. She's sitting there at the bar lurking and giving, rooting on. I can't even remember anymore. But she's sitting there, like, rooting on some argument about there for the wrong reasons, but she, you know, of course she came on the show with a girlfriend back home. I mean, I'm kind of a master of do as I say, not as I do, but still, Demi coats a lot of hypocritical thoughts and feelings with this woke presentation.
Yes.
Agreed. And that's only going to last so long. She's really the master manipulator. I mean, if we feel like her mom rubbed off on her and her mom was a grifter, like literally a grifter, who spent time in prison for grifting, then it stands to reason that...
Is that Demi, a legal term?
I think there's a Simpsons. Abraham Simpson was a grifter. I think it stands to reason that Demi's doing the same thing, and that facade can only last so long. That's why people end up in jail.
Yeah, I know, again, you guys like her.
I'm turning on her, totally. This season has not been good to her, in my opinion.
I still like her.
I kind of thought Craig was the like number one fan for a while, at least out of
the three. I thought her like millennial woke sassy sexual shtick worked really well with Ari. But
Colton.
Sorry, Colton. Oh, God. But now that she's just sitting at the bar all day every day with her girlfriend who doesn't say anything, it's all starting to wear a little thin on me.
Yeah. Okay. I want to give some background on why Tayshia might have liked Derek. She kind of alluded to something, Caitlin. I don't know if you guys remember this, but she said that Derek is a lot like her and that they relate on a couple things was because Derek was engaged to Emotional Intelligence on a past Bachelor in Paradise season.
Taylor.
And Tayshia, yes, Taylor, Emotional Intelligence. And Tayshia was married. Do you guys remember this from Colton's season?
Was
within the year of the divorce. So the kind of, you know, oh, we both have exes that were serious.
That like, line that is was relatable. So bad. It's like, you were engaged and I was married, so we're totally the same. Not exactly.
I can see not being able to relate to a 24-year-old that falls in love instantly, but at the same time, that's not that, you know, rare. So, I thought this was interesting. So if I want to venture out into maybe land, because what I'm saying about Derek so far, I'm very for sure on. Like, I feel for sure about this. But here's a I don't know. Derek is so bad, he might be guilty of this. I can indict him for more. I can charge him for more crimes than he's actually committed. Okay. Yeah. So we talked kind of weirdly last week about the movie The Favorite, Caitlin. Have you seen it?
I have.
Okay. And actually, weirdly, me and our other co-host, Chris, talked about it on text because we both like the same kind of movies, so we tend to talk about movies. Craig, did you know that?
That you're texting with Chris?
Yeah.
You're cheating on me with another co-host?
What I took away from that movie was that how you act, whether it's a twosome or by yourself or a threesome, and I mean that, you know, three people, two people, one person, really who you're with and who you're around makes you act differently. And I think that's something worth exploring. It sounds kind of like a simple point, but I thought it was very well done in that movie. And this is, I feel, and this is, of course, just indicting him for more things, that he's just left to hurt Tayshia, to bother her, to make her second guess it, to make him seem super sympathetic. And it's a good way to give JPJ a quote win the little battle, but not the war. So I feel like it was even conniving to do that. It's a side note. It's not anything worth taking to the bank or anything, but I think it's interesting. Can I say something about Mike? Only spoiler alert, Bachelor Masters listeners, I would say if you don't want to know anything about the Bachelor season coming up, skip ahead like 1 minute.
We never talk about anything for 1 minute.
I think I might, because it's very short. Basically,
okay, I'm putting the timer on.
Put the timer on.
Okay.
Pilot Peter is going to be the Bachelor, and Mike isn't. So here's what bugs me about it. I think it's a good choice, because to me, Mike doesn't want to find a partner. He just wants to look really sympathetic on TV. And the fact that he got chosen by no one when there was only one, you know, you only needed to be chosen, you know, it wasn't like three men were cut, only one man was cut. He didn't want to go out with Sydney, and the whole Sydney thing was kind of ridiculous, right? Because he did to Clay what he said not to do. He kissed Angela kind of forcefully, if you guys remember that. He like brought her and he said, Clay never loved you, now kiss me.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the Clay never loved you thing. So I was like, that's a really harsh thing to say to somebody on a date.
Yeah.
I was very surprised that he was like, well, Clay told me he was never in love with you. And then, I was like, whoa, okay.
Not only did he not have a conversation with Clay.
What? That was one minute.
That was you reacting, not setting a time buzzer. Okay, well, this is no longer the spoiler.
Okay.
Mike didn't have a conversation with Clay beforehand. And then he didn't have a conversation with Sydney the way JPJ was supposed to with Haley. You know, he just left Sydney and was like, I'm going on a date with Angela. So, I don't know. The whole Mike being like this great guy who respects women and all this is just such, it's just so hard for me to like actually see. I kept thinking like, you know what Mike's going to do that I might think is great? He might defend JPJ. He didn't. He both sides the whole thing. He said, everyone's wrong. Everyone's guilty. Let's just move on. And, you know, giving bad advice again. So I don't know. I guess my ultimate point here is that, you know, you guys know I hate Kaylin, right?
We all do.
I mean, Kaylin.
Yes, we've gotten that message.
That we've established, yes.
To be fair, she might be a good bachelorette, not because she's looking for a relationship, but because guys actually want to date her. And I think same thing with Dean. But Mike, I don't think girls actually want to date him, or they're not having connections with him for a reason.
That I'm not so sure about, but I will say that Wells, the bartender, did go on record. He was interviewed by some rag. He said basically what you're saying, which is, you know, Mike's great. People like him. He's a fun dude. But I don't see how they could build a show around him because he doesn't seem developed in the areas of interpersonal, managing a bunch of women all at the same time and giving them each what they need and so on and so forth.
Yeah, Peter might not be the hottest dude ever, but he's at least likable. Very likable.
Now that I agree with.
I think he's cute.
I think he's very cute. I honestly
do. He's definitely not the hottest guy ever.
He's not the hottest guy ever.
I mean, to me, that's he's my kind of cute. I would totally think he's like so cute. People say they like Mike, mm-hmm. and then they don't.
I also really like Peter's weird family.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it'll be cool to have a SoCal family. I mean, it's a good SoCal action.
Yeah, we can go and visit them. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Caitlin, take us home.
So yeah, I just felt like it needed to be brought up. The Blake and Christina thing. I'm not convinced that Blake is actually into Christina or if he's just lonely, you know?
it is
like very odd. I do feel like has seemed like Christina has had feelings for him pretty much the entire time she was on this show. There was like a little hint that maybe she could be interested in Blake in that way again, but it was sort of like that scene where there's like he's sitting alone. He's like, why can't I find love? Wait, it's been in front of me the whole time. Christina. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens. He did good with turning down that date, because if he had said yes to that, that would have been cementing his role as the most hated person on this show for all time.
I have a couple thoughts on the Blake Christina situation. Right. I think the writing is probably on the wall, Caitlin, like you said, that he's going after Christina because that's sort of what is left, which I think is what you just said, right?
Of the women available,
might as well.
The only one who might give him the time of day.
What came to mind is, despite us living in a open, promiscuous Western culture where sex happens with less love involved, the song, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Tina Turner.
Yeah. Was it Tina Turner? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what the song's about? Anyway,
what's love got? Yeah, what's love got to do with it? Yeah, there's no, you can have sex without love. Okay, I don't want to go on.
You don't want to go down that tangent.
Love may or may not be involved with the act of having sex, but I think our current Western culture gets a lot of flack for there being lots of sex without love. But it occurred to me that despite all of that, the act of having sex with somebody does, in fact, connect you to that person. It sounds like they knew each other for a long time and have been friends for a long time. It culminated in this stagecoach sex night. That does make you connected to that person, even if you want to pretend it doesn't. So to come back around and say, I do care for you, Christina, and I think we could try to give this a shot, is kind of a sincere thing. I don't think he's BSing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I could see him having feelings for Christina. And I think you can see what like her reaction to it is probably what most of the audience is thinking, that they're like, I don't know if you can trust this yet because he's been such a fuckboy this season.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
Like, put you, yeah. So I feel like, yeah, it did seem like they were legitimately friends for a while, that there had been like romantic feelings there, and then things sort of blew up.
Caitlin, isn't that what you were kind of getting at? That you act like it's a rom-com, but it's really just this desperate bottom of the barrel situation. He's saying, oh, the love has been there right in front of me all along. But really it's like, she's literally the only one left and I've already hooked up with her. So it's that easy.
Yeah. I think that's definitely like what I would be worried about if I was in Christina's shoes, is I would be like, oh, that's exactly what I would think he is doing. You know, I'm making a desperate play here to stay on the show.
To be kind of, because she has those issues when she was younger, she's very clingy and has bad experiences with men based on that. So it's not so, you know, they might make a good couple and they might last because they're both need each other in a bad way.
I agree with all that. And I also agree that Blake will probably screw this up. But haven't you had situations like maybe you had a hookup or like a friends with benefits or just maybe some casual sex? And then you go, you know, I actually do think that person's really cool. And
no. No to the first premise.
Well, then we should just end here because my whole argument is based on
I'm sorry.
Nothing.
Go ahead. But isn't this literal desert islands, whatever, hysteria? You know, you're literally the only woman on this deserted beach. Let's hook up.
Yeah.
You know.
And Stagecoach, you know, is a deserted piece.
I mean, Stagecoach isn't coming around for another year, so he's got to sell something.
Yeah. More like, I think where you're going with this, Craig, but more like, I think applicable to everyone else's life, or at least me, is that, have you guys ever been on a trip, or like, you know, like a class trip? Like for me, it was like, you know, whatever. We went on a research mission. So you're stuck with, you know, probably even number of women and men. And unless, and you kind of get this like, who's the most good looking guy here? Well, it has to be that guy. But in real life, you might be like, never. But because you're isolated with them and you're going through this big experience with them, you're like, yes, I'm in love.
No, I mean, I think it makes sense, particularly in their situation, for them to potentially give it a go. But yeah, I would be very skeptical of trusting him for a while. But I could also see it going what Easier was saying, like maybe they would be together for a really long time and maybe this would work out.
Because they're not that dissimilar.
Yeah, and I mean, if they've been friends before, they clearly can like get along and have conversations and stuff.
I agree.
Do y'all think that Caitlin is going to leave Paradise with Dean?
I would say the odds are in favor of her leaving with Dean, which I think even a person with the worst history of dating and choosing the wrong men would probably agree is a bad move.
Well, they're both manipulators and they totally deserve each other. So
yeah,
good for horrible people ending up together, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know.
Let's end on that note. I like ending the podcast on negative. They deserve each other because they are horrible people. No, let's end here.
Okay. Well, I do want to say that like Hannah G, blink twice if you want us to save you from somewhere along the line she needs out of that. Might happen.
There must be a producer with a spray bottle, and every time Dylan's about to go on camera they just drench him, because every time we see him he's like more and more sweaty and disheveled and his beard's growing out and his shirts haven't been washed.
I thought you were going to say that every time Hannah, like, you know, wanders off, they spray her, like, to get him, like, back to Dylan.
Yeah, like you do with your cat back when they're, like, being bad.
Yes. That's more true than what I said. Okay, well, that was great. We did a good podcast based on not so great content, so kudos to us. I guess next week is the finale week, and then we'll take our couple-month hiatus, and then we'll go from there. So, unless there's anything else, let's call it a day, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.